The Ten Commandments have occupied a central place in the Western imagination for thousands of years. They are seen as being one of the wellsprings of our legal tradition. They are a touchstone of our artistic life. One need only think of the great movie with Charlton Heston from the 1950s. And they continue to be a football in our political life. I need only mention the name Roy Moore, and you'll know about the Senate candidate in Alabama who ran into some difficulties with the judiciary because he wanted to put a monument to the Ten Commandments in front of his courthouse. One of my professors at Divinity School thought this was a little bit odd. He wanted to know which version of the Ten Commandments Judge Moore was going to enshrine. As you may know, the Ten Commandments appear in Exodus 20, they appear in Deuteronomy 5, and they make another appearance in Exodus 34. And in each place, the text differs. Now, we've seen various monuments to the Ten Commandments. They're in our courthouses and other civic places, and they're always edited. They're shortened, sometimes right down to some numbers. So what are we to do with this text? How are we to see it? Some people say that it is a universal text, that God gave it to Israel, but that it was meant for all people for all time. Others have argued that they are a particular piece of legislation for a specific group of people at a moment in time. And if you read them carefully, you will notice that the lesson is targeted at men who happen to own slaves and whose wives are to be treated as property. Now, we don't do that anymore, do we? But before we ask questions about how to interpret the text, and how we should situate them in a historical context, I'd like to get to a more basic question. And that is, do we even care? Now, I suspect most people here would say, of course we do. The Ten Commandments are a central part of our faith tradition. But let's look at how we actually lead our lives. And if we're honest, I think we get a failing grade. Consider the Sabbath day. It's great, we're all here at church, right? But I bet some of us will go out to eat today. We'll go to the movies. We may go to a job. People are working today. They're not getting time off. Our society as a whole has dispensed with the Sabbath. I remember when there used to be blue laws. And slowly but surely, those were picked away. And now we can shop all the time. Even those of us who will rest today, I suspect, won't do it with a focus on God and God's people and how we can strengthen our relationships with one another. Shouldn't make any idols. I'm sure nobody here has an actual golden idol at home that they will bow down and worship. If you do, we need to talk after the service. But there are other things we idolize. Perhaps sports teams. Some people might be really caught up in the Red Sox, who look like their season's going to end today. Others might have more hope in the Patriots and what goes on down in Foxborough, and will be excited about the exploits of Tom Brady. Maybe it's a celebrity, a movie star. Maybe it's your bank account. Maybe it's your career. But these are things that are all given pride of place right next to God and indeed sometimes before Him. We all know how we do about bearing false witness. Lies are commonplace in our society. Marketers often hedge the truth in their claims about what their products can do. I don't need to talk about politics, and what was once abnormal is now becoming normal, and facts themselves are disputed. Then there's adultery. And we know that the institution of marriage is not seen as it once was. It was 50 years ago that the divorce rate first reached 50%. And though it's better now, perhaps 40%, people have different attitudes towards marriage and indeed towards all kinds of relationships with other people. And what about killing? Now, I don't need to tell you what happened in Las Vegas last week. And this isn't going to turn into a sermon about gun control. But I'd like us to consider this fact. In the course of 9 minutes, more than 560 people were either killed or wounded. 9 minutes. That's remarkable. It was 51 years ago in Texas that the first modern mass killing took place. And of course, people said after the first one took place, never again. They said it after Columbine and after Aurora, right up to Las Vegas. And in the immediate aftermath of this event, which I will not call a tragedy, because a tragedy is when I'm driving down the street and a tree falls on my car and I'm killed. It was an obscenity and it was an outrage. What happened was the two sides in the debate trotted out their talking points and they immediately began to talk past one another. How do we treat each other? What kind of world are we building? I wonder what kind of world four kids who were up front here today and the other kids in our church who aren't with us this morning are going to inherit. We are all complicit. We all make choices. We all need to act on our beliefs. Personally, I know people who own guns. I know people who enjoy going to a shooting range. And I know people who enjoy hunting. And I can understand why someone might want to pass down a weapon from generation to generation. But frankly, I have no idea why somebody would have to have their own personal arsenal. I don't know if they're crazy. I don't know if they have a different view of reality. I don't know if they're scared. But we need to address this as a people. And I suspect one of the things that's going on is that our world is changing. And those of you who are older know it better than those of us who are younger. The world has changed a lot, and it's changing at an ever faster rate. We here in the Upper Valley, in some ways, live in the past. Our community is not as diverse and it is not as complicated as you'll find elsewhere in the United States. And indeed, the way we worship, though I love it, is also, in a way, part of the past. Some people would be excited by these changes, and they see a new world emerging. And others, I suspect, are frightened. They don't know what their place is going to be and how to get along. We're a people without a common set of reference points. And we as individuals are trying to come up with guidelines and a framework for living. And every man-made set of rules is going to have some flaws. So I think about us in the church and what we can do. We come here and we worship on Sunday, and that's great, and we enjoy fellowship with one another. We're going to partner with other faith communities today in the crop walk. But I think about the kind of lives we can model to one another and to the wider community. And what is our reference point going to be? The people who criticize the Ten Commandments, suggesting that they are particularist, are missing the point. Sam Lloyd, who was the rector of Trinity Church in Boston at the turn of the 21st century, gave a series of sermons about the Ten Commandments. And he called them signposts for a new millennium. And I like that. They aren't meant to be taken as a strict set of rules meant to tie us down and regulate our behavior. They're meant to show us what the world can be like. Indeed, if you think about them, they're fairly narrow. They don't tell us what to think or how to think. That rarely works. But they give us some basics that we can work with. There is a poem in your bulletin, it's on the hymn insert, by Elton Trueblood, which I invite you to look at. Above all else, love God alone, bow down to neither wood nor stone. God's name refuse to take in vain, the Sabbath rest with care maintain. Respect your parents all your days, hold sacred human life always. Be loyal to your chosen mate, steal nothing, neither small nor great. Report with truth your neighbor's deed and rid your mind of selfish greed. Perhaps this expression of the Ten Commandments speaks to you more than the version we read from Scripture before. Whichever version speaks to you, whichever version speaks to us as a community, I hope that we will be able to see this as a framework for living. We should remember that when God gave these commandments to the people of Israel, they were a recently liberated people. For 400 years, they lived as slaves in Egypt, and the law was a cudgel that was used to abuse them. God set a covenant with this people. He took them as his own. And God knew what we should recognize, that a total absence of framework of rules does not mean infinite freedom. It usually means unbounded chaos. We need some rules within which to organize ourselves and to live. And the law was meant to provide that framework, one that would provide for healthy, whole living for the people of God. So the Ten Commandments, do we care? I sure hope so.